Hello there, my holiday lovelies. It's reality TV time, and it's also a magical time of the year. Even more so magical to me because I have heard your cries of solidarity from far and wide, not because of the holiday season, but because we are coming together to say no to reindeer cars. I am so touched. I really am. I didn't know I was one of the many thousands of us across the land that don't like to see our friends, those of you who are fighting your common sense as you're hopping into your car every morning that's got felt out of your windows and on the front of your car. We're praying for you, okay? And by praying, I mean we are laughing at you. We're taking photos of your cars and we're laughing at you in the Facebook group, the Reality TV Orchard of Snark. Now, I thought about this, and I think maybe next year there'll be a spike in sales because some of you are brave enough to have come forward and said, yes, I am driving a reindeer car. Maybe you are not as alone as you think you are. I think we should take all of you, kind of like what they did with the felons in Australia. We'll put you all together, hit you up like Santa's reindeer. We'll light you up like Clark and Cousin Eddie, and you guys can fulfill the dream of being a reindeer flying across the world. I know that sounds harsh. It's not like I wish you physical harm, but, you know, the emotional damage, knowing that we are all laughing at you, that one's on you. Just kidding. I really do love you, and I do have to give credit to those of you who are coming forward saying that you're driving the car. Hopefully you know that it's all in good fun, and it makes zero sense. I don't know why I hate that people wear Santa hats. I don't know why I hate Rudolph the car. Love Christmas. It's just one of those things. It's like a little tick. Coming up on the show today, I'm doing a little crossover action with the new podcast, 90 Day Slumber Party, but there has been a huge happening in the TLC world that we must address immediately. Sister Wives is coming back on Sunday, January 5th, and I am feeling so alive. I am going to be recapping and roasting the shit out of the season, so you best be spreading this little podcast that could far and wide because Taco Tony is back, bitches. For real, I am going to need your help in sharing and recommending Reality TV in any of your Facebook groups. And also, while I'm at it, while I'm begging, all I want for Christmaka, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Solstice is to leave a 5-star review on iTunes and let everyone know why you subscribe and why you support the show. Please and thank you. I love you. I'm putting that right out there. So let's get back to Sister Wives real quickly because I am not even close to being done. If you are not a Sister Wives watcher, don't fast forward. I'm going to promise you something. You will love this season. You got to trust me and the thousands of us who are watching. This has not been on, 13 or 14 seasons just because. This is a gem of a show. You know you can trust me, right? I mean, the reason I started this podcast to begin with was because there were no podcasts talking about 90 Day Fiancé. And now look, everyone is watching it and they love it even though it wasn't on anyone's radar except us diehard TLCers. So listen, in a nutshell, I'm going to try to do this in speed round in like 2 minutes or less, somewhere around there. I don't know. I'm not an expert on time or geography, but bear with me here. I'm going to catch up to speed, ready, and go. Cody Brown had 3 wives, Mary, Janelle, Christine. First wife, Mary, introduces him to potential 4th wife, new wife named Robin. Cody marries Robin. Obviously, she is the hot new favorite, even though she has 3 kids already from a previous marriage. The show airs on TLC. That's the first season. And the whole family becomes paranoid because they're going to be arrested and put in jail because they're polygamists that live in Utah at the time. They pack up and move to Vegas in this crazy 2-day surprise move. And by the way, there's like 16 kids or something between the 3 wives. We like Janelle's kids. Mary only has 1 daughter named Mariah, who years later comes out as gay. And Mary fakes like she wants to have another baby this whole time. But we all know it's because she really just wanted like a pity party and attention. More on that later. Right. So we like Janelle's kids. Christine's kids are a little weird. More on that later. Robin's kids are like, fine, normal. unimportant overall, although her oldest son, we really like him. So they all move to Vegas. They're all living in rentals. They want to build separate houses next door to each other. Think HBO's Big Love. So they end up doing that with the help of Mona, the realtor, and Mary, who is now an empty nester of that one daughter, Mariah, insists she also get a 5-bedroom house and a wet bar, even though they don't drink. And she is like very diehard about this wet bar. So fast forward a few seasons of that, and Mary is now deep into shilling LuLaRoe. Robin is selling really ugly jewelry on their janky site, My Sister Wives Closet. Christine, don't really know what she's doing. She's much more likable because I think she got on some good depression anxiety meds. And Janelle is just Janelling. Now, during this time, Mary starts talking with this guy named Sam online. You probably heard about this whole catfish thing. Mary and Sam, put him in quotes, start sexting and having a relationship. This is where she deep throats a banana. Sam sends his colleague, in quotes, this woman friend of his, to go to Disneyland with Mary, and it comes out that Sam, the man, doesn't exist, and Mary was being catfished by the woman who said she was Sam's colleague slash friends. So the catfish writes a book, posts the photos and the text of Mary, you know, talking sexual-ish to him slash her, sending the pictures of the banana. I think she's taking a bath at one point. And she also, of course, mentions that she wants to leave Cody and the family. So we get to, I think, season 10. Mary was forced to come clean to Cody and her fellow sister wives, but she plays it like she is a victim and this woman was threatening to destroy the family. So she makes herself a hero slash victim. Sure, Jan. Now, over several seasons, Mary keeps playing the victim. Like I said, we're in season 13, 14 now, and it's obvious that Cody cannot fucking stand Mary. And eventually they admit that they don't spend time together. They don't spend a house or a bed with one another. And oh, I forgot this part. Mary bought a bed and breakfast in Utah that used to be in her family. But if you go back, probably 20, 30 podcasts ago, I found the mortgage documents proving that Mary did not get a loan for this bed and breakfast to be a business. Liar, liar, LuLaRoe on fire. So now we are at current day. The family decided to pick up and move from Vegas. I guess I should really say Cody decided to pick up and move from Vegas for no apparent reason. They're living in Flagstaff, Arizona, all in different houses. I believe Christine, maybe Janelle were the only ones to buy. And Robin has the biggest house of anyone. So that is where we are current day. Oh, now, the previews for this season, I will put a link in the show notes. It's going to be an incredible season, mostly because Cody finally calls Mary out for always making herself the victim, even though she was the one who was stepping out of the marriage. So good. Hopefully I did that Sister Wives recap a little bit of justice. Father, son, holy Dayton. All right, now I'm going to take a very quick break, and when I come back, we are going to break down the latest episode of 90 Day Fiancé with the ladies from 90 Day Slumber Party. You know, I just got into Pillow Talk. Do you guys watch that?
I do.
I love Pillow Talk. I almost like Pillow Talk more than I like the actual show.
Me
really?
Too.
Yeah, it took me a while to watch it because I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. Especially because there's some couples on there I'm not huge fans of.
Right.
Russ and Pal. Okay.
I mean, I like when Tariq is on.
Yeah, but they fired
with
him.
With his brother.
What? Wait, they did?
Yeah.
Why did they do that? They're one of the best.
So I didn't see the episode yet. I'm far behind on my Pillow Talks. But I was very resistant to watching it to begin with. But then I was like, you know what? Everyone's saying they love it. And it's The People's Couch, which was a great show on Bravo, which they canceled. Anyhow.
Right.
I guess Tariq, who I always say Tariq on accident, whatever you call him, I guess he said something about Tim's sexuality or that he was feminine or something along those lines. But Tim didn't take offense to it. And he was like, I said the same thing. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. I mean, it probably is not the most PC thing to say or to joke about.
Right. That's so silly because I've heard some of the other women. I mean, I think I texted our group chat. They said one of the other, who is the one? There's the woman who's on with her friend, and her friend is so over the top annoying. And she dated
Molly?
The guy.
Yes. Okay. She said something like vaguely racist
Ooh.
about one of the women.
Really?
Called her like a jumping bean. Said that about one of the Hispanic women on one of the seasons. And I was like, you can't say that on on Pillow Talk. I'm like, she should be fired. That's crazy. They need to get her
Well,
out.
if you're gonna, if they're gonna draw the line there, then why do we have Angela on the show still?
Good call.
Yeah. I mean,
Totally.
she's absolutely abusive. We've seen it. And all that
Absolutely.
stuff where she apparently beat up Avery's mom or swung at her during the
Yeah.
reunion. I
During
don't know
the
about that.
tell-all.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not good.
And same with we've talked about this before, where I don't think they know where to draw the line on the show, because like Anfisa and Jorge were also physical. Anfisa was physically abusive, and Colty and
Oh,
Larissa.
Jesus.
Those two.
Larissa was too. Oh,
Yeah,
wow.
they got in like a bloody brawl. So anyway, that's a whole other thing, is where do you
Yeah.
draw the line on these shows? Because they're so into the entertainment value that they don't have
Right.
nowhere to stop
How
it.
pissed is Larissa that she was not on that same yacht as what's her face? Juliana. She's like,
Juliana,
God
that
damn
is such
it.
a good point.
Although I think she kind of aged out of being a yacht girl, right? By like 15 years or so.
She's way too old for Michael.
Yeah.
Should we get into them right now, into the
Yes,
episode?
let's
Because
do
let's
this.
hop
Let's
into
do
it.
it.
Segue, because they're the first couple.
Yes, let's get into
So we open with Michael in, once again, a too small shirt. This baseball jersey is supposed to be like roomy, and it is too
Right.
small. It's a child
Yeah, his
size. I
button
can't
up
tell if he's.
ones.
Yeah, I can't tell if he's getting bigger or the shirts are getting
Or
smaller.
he's
Shirts are
getting
getting
poorer.
smaller.
I don't know. I don't think he's as wealthy as he comes off to be. I'm sure his property value, wherever he lives, they're probably $1 million homes, $2 million homes, but
Right.
that doesn't mean that you have, see, I mean, I don't even have enough money to say this, your fluid assets or whatever it is. I don't think he's
Right.
got as much as he's leading her to believe.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he has way too many cars. Let me just say that. It's
Yeah.
hard. It's hard to watch as someone who's the owner of a falling apart 2006 Hyundai. Like, I'm just saying,
Right.
like, it's hard. Sometimes I get really irritated watching all of his cars.
But we think he leases them, not owns, right?
Oh, he's for sure a leaser. My brother is
Maybe.
kind of like that.
Yeah, I think he's a leaser, which I think is so corny. I think like you can't. It's one thing.
Lease cars.
That's
I
what we're telling
agree.
ourselves. I got a 2007 Yukon. She's on her last legs, but that's what I'll tell myself too.
But I think if you're going to be rich and have like 50 Porsches,
Yeah.
like own the Porsches.
Right.
Like don't lease all these Porsches. I
Or
think
just
that's
own
weird.
one really nice car. Why lease? I
Yes.
mean, that can't be inexpensive to lease all those cars,
Right,
even if he
exactly.
doesn't own them outright. Like if he's, it's still how much a month for each of those?
Exactly. Like own one nice car. Don't lease 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's weird. Okay, so they're in bed and
I take that back.
Juliana is like, they're talking about the prenup. That's the big storyline
Yes.
this episode for them.
It's going to be the whole
Personally,
season. We're going to be hearing about this prenup.
can I just say that personally, I think prenup drama is so boring to me. I just don't care.
I always get a prenup, I think.
For me, I like it's we always it's like the trope. I'm so sick of the trope, like, oh, someone's upset about the prenup. Like, I don't understand what the big deal is. Like,
Right. Yeah, it's on
it's
every
not like
Housewives, it's on every show.
I'm sick of prenup drama on every reality show. Like, it always happens at some point.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, no,
Yeah.
I totally do. I just don't care that much. Maybe I'm sure other people care. I'm sure it's entertaining for other people. It's just a personal opinion. Juliana, she says the idea of getting a prenup makes me sad. And they're headed to a mediator the next day to discuss this.
I think that she makes a good point, though, when she's like, why did I have to hear about this from Sarah instead of from
Yeah.
you? Why didn't you tell me before? And Michael's like, I did tell you before. And she's like, before when? He's like, before now. Like,
Yeah.
he's doing that male backpedaling thing where he just is stuck into a corner and he starts lying, and you get
Yeah.
to see a different side of Michael where you're like, oh, he's a little shady.
It also speaks to how much he kind of infantilizes her.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah,
you
big
mentioned
time.
that in your previous episode, for sure. I want to be hopeful about Sarah and think maybe she's looking out for Juliana a little bit. I mean, I don't think she wants to be her best friend and is like, you know what, let's make sure you got everything you need. But I do think maybe just the maternal part of her and being optimistic is just planting some seeds, probably because she knows what Michael can be like. I mean, she divorced him for a reason.
Right.
Maybe because he's got a huge full-length mirror next to their bed.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that'll keep her thin.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's a sex mirror for sure, right?
Of course.
Full length. And it was like one of those wide ones, not your college dorm room skinny ones. Like the size to see every angle and every side.
Oh my God. I dated a guy once who had a sex mirror.
Ew.
And it's
really. Was he like specifically to you, this is my sex mirror?
Yeah. I like how I'm saying like it was way in the past. This was like a few months ago.
Oh. Oh God.
I'm so old and married. I feel like if I walked in my bedroom, my husband said this is a sex mirror, I would need a prenup. I'd be like, all right, we need to do a post-nup because I am not sticking around for this. No way.
Oh my God, how gross. That's such gross insight into his personality. I didn't notice that.
The other thing I noticed last episode that was in Michael's house that I forgot to mention was he has a mug that says Boss Dad on it.
Oh no.
That's bad.
I want to know who gave that to him.
Oh, that is not good. He's definitely got one of those letter boards in his office that he hashtags every day. He has like a mason jar that he fills with water and takes a selfie with it. Thursday inspiration. Totally. Ew.
Oh my God. So did you guys see, Allie, I know Allie saw it, but did you, Jody, see Michael on Instagram today?
No.
Was it today or was it yesterday?
I don't know. I think I found it via Twitter. He did an Instagram live of just like having a full meltdown.
Right.
Where he's really, and Juliana's in the video for a second too, kind of like hovering sad behind him and then kisses him on the cheek, where he's just completely distraught and upset, saying he's furious about how TLC represented him, how he didn't sign up for this, how anyone says that this is what he signed up for, that's not true, and like this isn't a good portrayal of their relationship or him.
I think out of all the couples, they're like one of the lesser offensive couples, even though I think Michael's a creep.
Yeah.
I just think like they're not like, it's not like an Angela and Michael situation where,
right,
you know, it's just mayhem all the time.
There's not gonna be a ton of surprises. It's gonna be like white collar surprises, you know?
Yeah, totally. Right.
It's a different Porsche this time.
Yeah. Oh, Juliana.
Yeah, it's pretty innocuous. Yeah.
I mean, I think we're all pretty team Juliana on our podcast.
Well, she's a child. I mean, she's basically
a child. She just looks so young too. So it's hard. Like,
yeah. And sometimes her voice is so
sweet. The baby talk.
Yeah. Do we think that's real or is, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's very, okay, I'm going to go Dr. Drew here. I grew up on Loveline and he always said that when you have that little baby voice, or not always.
That you were molested?
Yes, that there's some sort of trauma that you kind of just stay in that age or that you revert to that voice when you feel victimized. You know, it's just that very kind of quiet, mousy, look at SpongeBob, you know? Oh.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think about that too, because I'm also a Loveline Dr. Drew chick.
Yeah.
Although, I grew up on Loveline too.
Oh my gosh. I still think of some of those episodes.
I watching the MTV show.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the show on MTV?
Was it who? Adam Carolla?
It was Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. And it was like they made a TV show out of the radio show in the mid 90s. And I watched it and like I thought it was like the greatest show ever because it had sexual content.
Oh, yeah.
And
that
I
was scandalous.
Like, you know? I was like 10 years old watching it. Like, this is, they just said penis.
Yeah. You turn the volume down. Mom's so going to come. Shh.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about that too when she did the SpongeBob thing and somehow when she was doing the like pre-nosh, was a pre-nosh? Like I think she does revert into a childlike state when she gets.
Well, she said perennium. Do you guys know what that is?
She did say,
have you had?
Yeah,
that's the taint, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, any woman who's gone through childbirth, there's like this gross thing where couples, the man will massage his wife's perennium. I was gagging during the childbirth class. I was like, nope, Dave, not going anywhere near there. No. And she was saying that she was wording out perennium. I'm like, oh, honey, no.
Oh,
it's not what you think it means.
What did you guys think of the mediator?
I liked her. I actually really liked her. And I think she was Team Juliana for sure, which I also liked about her a lot.
I liked that she was kind of like not like defending Michael for his shit.
Yeah.
He was like, let her talk. She was like, let her talk.
Yeah. Because
he was talking over her, I feel like, during their mediation session.
Yeah. I want to see her on a Dateline as a prosecutor or DA or something.
Yes. Next season of Making a Murderer. I think that she's probably seen this all the time in Connecticut, like an older man taking advantage of a younger woman. They come in for the prenup and he just is like, I'll cut her out of my life when we get a divorce. And she's probably been divorced.
Right.
She's probably had enough of it. And she just like doesn't.
Yeah, she doesn't want to see him back in her office when they're going through a divorce. Like, let's just get through all this now. I don't want to see you in 2 years. You know better.
Yeah, this is her new cause in life. She's just like a champion of the people.
Totally. Then there was a reveal from Juliana that she said last year her and Michael got into a really bad fight and they broke up for 3 months.
Yeah.
And she seems like traumatized by that.
But what's interesting, though, is then she kind of goes into it then and she explains that a fight didn't even precipitate it, that he
just
called her one day
out of the blue.
Yeah. And was like, we're done. Hung up and then cut her off, wouldn't help her out anymore after he said he'd always help her. And then she was just left to fend for herself.
Honestly, I think he met another yacht girl for 3 months. That didn't work out. And he went back to Juliana.
See, I was thinking maybe he saw her taking some Instagram photos on a yacht. There's something with a yacht. A yacht is definitely involved in this fight, that he saw her posing with some guy. And she was probably like, no, it's just for work. And he didn't believe it. So he's like, ah, screw you. But that's a good theory that he met someone else, though. Or maybe he was trying to get back with Sarah or something.
That's what I was thinking. Do you think maybe he and Sarah had a moment where they're like, let's try to get back together for the kids? Or maybe Sarah was like, you're having a midlife crisis. You need to nip this in the bud.
Get your shit together.
Get your shit together. And Michael was like, okay, I'll try. And then he was like, no, I actually do love her.
How long have they been divorced? I forget.
That's a good question.
Because if they were going through custody and divorce stuff, you definitely don't want it that you're spending money to go fly off to meet some woman, you know?
That's a good point.
Or that his money is going elsewhere.
Yeah, that could, especially having just seen Netflix Marriage Story.
Oh, I need to watch that.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's really good. But also, yeah, I mean, it's true. You want to at least be under the impression that you're not just floundering around with 23-year-old women, yacht girls.
So should we talk about the final scenes with her where she basically is, she cries, she's upset. She says she feels like a loser because she doesn't have any like work prospects in the near future. This was really like a sad scene to me, but it was all, I mean, it was sad slash a little annoying because she's like 23 years old and she's like, I've wasted my life. It's like, you have not wasted your life. Your life is just beginning.
Yeah.
You're beautiful. You're young. You're talented. You're nice. Like, people like you. You're going to be fine.
Right. Even if I was in that room at 33 and the woman was like, what do you do for work? I'd be like,
right.
Like, how much money do you make?
Not enough.
She's doing fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel bad for her. Also for the simple fact that she's in that car and she was eating one of those Justin peanut butter packets.
Those are expensive.
Not only expensive, but oh my God, I wish I could just shove peanut butter down my throat like that. Sitting in jumpsuit. And not have to worry about metabolizing that later.
Oh my God.
It's so true.
Did you notice the buttons on her jumpsuit were flipped up? It was driving me crazy. Like, they're little.
No, I did not notice that.
Oh, I wanted to reach through the screen and just smack them down and snap them. For a model, you think she'd look in the mirror, you know?
Well, that, especially that full-length sex mirror.
I really like the jumpsuit outfit, though.
That was a cute outfit.
I really like that outfit. It's one of my favorite Juliana looks.
I did start.
So
I Googled Jean jumpsuit.
I did too.
Oh God.
Last night.
I would look like a custodian. I could not pull that off at all. It was cute, though.
I mean, I thought their storyline was kind of boring this week. I mean, it wasn't that. It was fine. Should we move on?
Yes.
Yeah. I will say I do feel bad that, and I think, when she said that she wants her independence and she says that line, like, no man's will ever control me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think her heart is in the right place.
Yeah.
I am team
I am team Juliana. And I do think that Michael is kind of trying to take advantage of her and does like infantilizing her. I hope she gets a fair deal in this prenup and any Absolutely. Subsequent divorce.
She will. So, I think she's going to get probably at least a year of alimony or whatever afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emily and Sasha.
Yes.
Okay. So
I hate him with a burning passion of a million suns. I hate him.
Me too.
This was his worst episode so far.
You know who he reminds me of or their dynamic? This isn't going to be helpful because I forget both of their names.
Okay, just tell me.
Who's the couple from last season? Or I think they've been on two seasons where it's the guy and the girl.
Okay.
Oh, right, them.
Mm-hmm. thank you.
And they also have a kid. He's from like a small town. Her whole family hates him.
Oh, Libby and
yes.
Oh my God. Andre.
Yeah, Libby and Andre. Yes. They have major Libby and Andre vibes, I think.
Ooh. Yeah. I think Sasha's even worse though.
Yeah. Sasha's awful. So they're flying to Chicago to go see the sister of Emily, Betsy, who we've met Betsy before the first episode, I think, when they Skyped.
Oh, yes. That's who she was Skyping with. And she got faint.
And she, because Betsy confronted her. She was like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, let's put faint in quotes. When she felt faint, right?
When she had to leave the room because she got confronted.
Well, she's like, let me go stand on this huge concrete slab because I feel like I'm going to pass out. No, you're fine, liar.
That's her signature move. Yeah. She feels like she's going to pass out when someone calls her on her bullshit. So Betsy lives in South Bend, Indiana. They fly into Chicago. Once again, like, why can't they at least spend a couple days like in Chicago?
Someplace cool. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. So they're going to stay at, first of all, Emily's mom looks the same age as Emily.
Absolutely.
I wrote that down.
I was like, at first I kept squinting my eye. I'm like, who is that? One of their friends? Like, who is that?
She looks
and then they
great.
Were like, my mom.
Yeah.
That's also part of, I was like, is she an actress? That's sometimes what makes me confused where I'm like, is this bad casting? Because I know TLC, my wish upon wishes is that everything's real.
They do not cast actors to play people's family members.
No. I don't know.
I don't know. I want to live in naivete, if that's the truth. I don't want to believe that.
I especially think if they would cast a mom, they wouldn't cast someone who looks like a young Mary Steenburgen
for sure.
Emily's mom. I mean, this woman was gorgeous and
she doesn't look like either of them.
She doesn't. No. I know. But I feel like if this was a casting situation, they would at least find someone that looked like older.
We need to see what that dad looks like.
Looks like.
Yeah.
But the mom looked great. Sasha was checking her out a little bit.
He was.
I noticed.
He was trying to pull some like pre-Menacta. Do you guys know what that is? Like from Braveheart?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a reference from The Office.
Maria gets it.
Oh, does she? Yeah. So it was like back in the olden day in Volgograd, Russia, like the king would sleep with a bride on their wedding night before they could be de-virginized. And I was like, Sasha definitely still believes in that shit because he looks at every woman
for sure.
as if he owns them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Winking at her. Ew.
Sasha definitely has like trad cath vibes to me. Do you know what I mean? Like he's like a very traditional, like the man does this, the woman does that.
Yeah, he's a caveman.
He looks like a cave. He is not fully evolved. He did not fully evolve. I say the same thing about Channing Tatum. They're on a scale.
Oh,
I don't see it. I feel like he's got one eye
so
cyclops.
Much. I know.
On that
I love
evolutionary picture.
The poster.
Yeah.
He's like somewhere in the middle. Like he never fully made it to the right standing man, you know?
That's so funny. So Sasha says he wants to be a personal trainer and a fitness model.
Woof.
And Anfisa wants to be a Kardashian. Take a number.
Exactly. Sasha. Oh, okay. So let's talk about the frosted mini wheats.
Yeah, man hungry. Feed me.
So they give him breakfast. And first of all, like, to be fair, like, who still eats frosted mini wheats that's an adult?
Yeah, Betsy does.
I was going to say, I buy them on a whim, you guys. Listen.
I know, but
I'm in the middle of the country. No.
That's,
some,
that's something that I would buy and eat in the middle of the night.
Oh, sure. Not, sure. Yeah. Especially, you know, not before a workout or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just funny to me. But also, it's her house. It's her food there. He has no right to to be like the way to act the way he did about those frosted mini wheats.
Also, Betsy's like, you guys are here. I just bought cereal and some quick stuff you can have on the go before we like go out and sightsee and eat out of the house.
She's being a perfectly fine hostess.
Yeah.
And like, she went out of her way to house them and their baby.
Oh my God.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not going to baby shame, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. He has a gigantic head.
He's a huge baby. He's giant baby.
A thick boy.
He's a thick boy. And that made me feel even more for Emily when.
And her vajayage.
Wasn't. Yeah. But also just made me feel. I think it was a C-section.
Oh, right. Oh my God, in that monstrous hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was tilted weird.
Right. Whoa. But it made me feel bad for her even more because it's like, that was a huge baby she was carrying. Sasha's like immediately like, you need to get back in the gym.
She's doing more work carrying that baby around all day than Sasha is lifting however many pounds he is at the gym. That is a big baby.
Yeah. Not to mention that she looks fine.
She looks incredible.
She looks fine.
She wore knee-high boots and a miniskirt out of the hospital.
I mean,
that doesn't
like
happen.
Pretty.
That's not a normal thing that happens.
And you know that, we really, really get to see Emily's insecurity come out in this episode. And it made me really sad just to see, because like, I've never been a fan of Emily's from the beginning. Just the fact that she didn't learn Russian in the 3 years that she lived there, I was like not on board with her.
Yeah.
But this really gave, I feel like, a lot of insight into just how sad of a human being she kind of is, in terms of like how much, like, just from the wearing the mini, she probably wore the mini skirt to impress Sasha.
Oh, absolutely.
Out of the hospital. Like, she didn't.
Masha
she didn't
and
that.
Svetlana or whatever his other ex-wife was probably wore what most women wear, the little mesh underwear that they give you and sweatpants out of the hospital. So she had a outdo him. I'm fiddling over my own words because I'm so upset with him. Okay, let me just say this. If you had to give his head a shape, what shape do you see?
An eggplant. I don't know. A hexagon. It's a hexagon.
See what I... Oh, this is exactly... His head is a shape. Like, most people, you would say it's a head. It's like a triangle. There are angles to his head.
It's a shape, for sure.
He has, like, the same head shape as Kelsey Grammer.
Ooh, I can see it.
Just like he's weirdly constructed.
Yes. But which is exactly the point. I don't think a lot of women are going to be checking him out at the gym. And are there
I don't either.
Although guys are on the West Coast, there's probably way more hotter women working out at the gym. But when I go to Planet Fitness, there are not, it's not the place that you're going to pick up chicks.
Yeah,
am I just in the wrong part of the country?
Yeah, I mean, I think people pick each other up at the gym.
I think men pick up other men at the gym more than women want to be hit on at the gym.
Yeah,
exactly. I think
when you go to the gym, you're not, or at least I'm not going to be seen. Like, I don't want anyone to see me. I want no one to see me that I know because I look disgusting because I'm sweating on the treadmill.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I don't go to the gym. That's why I've avoided working out for 33 years. I don't want anyone to see me do it.
Like, if a guy were to come up and hit on me, fortunately, it's never happened. Most of the people at my gym are gay men. But, like, if a guy came up and hit on me while I was working out at my gym, I would, like, I'd be pretty upset.
Yeah,
I'd be furious.
I would just be like, get the fuck out of here. I'm listening to a podcast and doing a half-house workout.
Yeah, Sasha's going to be me too'd so quickly.
No way.
You think in America, if he's a trainer training some young,
you
hot
think he's
girl
creepy with the training,
he would probably make comments like, oh, you have chubby fat like that. Or he'd poke your belly or some shit like that.
Yeah, I don't know if he would like get me too'd. I think he would be like, he would just get like a bad scandal would happen because he would call someone fat or like say something racist.
I can imagine him sliding into a hot client's DMs.
I can imagine
him into Emily's DMs
spotting a woman a little too close.
Totally.
That's true. That's a good point.
I can imagine. I don't think he would be have appropriate gym boundaries.
No.
And
he does not wipe down the equipment.
No.
And he throws his weights down.
For sure.
He's definitely a guy who throws his weights down and the whole gym like has a panic attack.
Yes.
I fucking hate that. What is wrong with you?
And he probably sets down his phone somewhere and does time lapse videos.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God.
For sure.
So he hates the cereal. I just want to talk a little bit more about like him going through the pantries of the house, basically. And he is like livid about this cereal. And he's like gives them a list. He like wants them to grocery shop for him.
It's crazy.
Of like his food.
He also says he's like, so Betsy, this is your cheat meal. And then he turns to the mom who is slender.
Right.
And says, do you eat this? And she goes, no. And he goes, yeah, I can tell.
It was so disgusting.
It's so uncomfortable. His relationship to women's bodies is awful.
And Betsy, I hope Betsy comes to the tell-all because
they're going to Skype her in for sure.
Yes.
I want to see that go down. I mean, I hope they have a confrontation in the next
She did episode. A good job of sticking up for herself, just taking that mini wheat and popping it in her mouth.
That was the best.
I wrote that down too. It was a great moment when she was eating it at him.
Yeah, just eating with her mouth full, totally. Just chewing with her mouth open.
I'd be pissed at my sister if she brought home a guy like that to stay in my house.
Oh my God. How dare you? You're coming into my house.
Also, I like how she called Emily out where Emily's like, I want to go to the gym today too. And Betsy's like, I've never seen you go to the gym in your entire life. And you got out of PE in high school by taking marching band because you hate working out so much. Like, what is this? Yeah. Like, what's this scam you're pulling?
And Sasha was like freaking out. He's like, I've lost around 10 pounds of muscle.
That's insane. That's not a thing.
In like a week. He's talking about in a week.
No way.
Like, I haven't been training. Like, dude, do some push-ups in your hotel room or wherever, the airport, like, yeah, if you're that concerned. Then Sasha, he's demanding Emily gets her body back at the gym. This guy has an exercise addiction and he hates women. That's what I've concluded. Emily doesn't want Sasha to check out other women. That's why she says she's working out. Because she's afraid that when he goes back to work, that like he's going to be checking. And it's like, this is a horrible foundation for a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, this is.
You're not going to be able to prevent that with any guy.
Exactly. No, not if they want to cheat.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
Like, if it's like, first of all, people are going to check out other people, but she's worried that he's going to like get together.
Yeah, act on
Listen,
it.
Listen, like, he might have been the best that Russia had to give, but. There's better in America.
There's better in Russia.
Women are going to be looking. Yeah, that might be true.
Honestly, this guy is like not like there are some hot Russian men. This guy, I find him so repulsive.
I know
90% of it is because of his personality.
I feel like Putin's better than Sasha.
Oh, yeah.
I would not go that
far. I take Putin on a Pegasus any day over Sasha.
I'm just begging for more one-star reviews. They're pro Putin.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. So Emily says, then she says to Sasha, you're not going to have much time for the gym when you're taking care of the baby. And that's when Sasha says, well, can't your family look after him?
Sasha's like, we have a baby?
Yeah, right. Well, that's karma calling.
Oh, God. I hate them. I think we should move on.
Yeah, let's move.
Michael and Angela.
She looks like she got lip injections in addition to the Botox, no?
Really? I was paying attention to her heaving Juicy Naturals.
Yeah, she does.
Throughout, like, this whole first scene.
She does have heaving Juicy Naturals. Rewatch it and tell me if you think that it looks like she got lip injections also.
She might be like, injections are cool. I'm going to get a bunch of them now.
Yeah, I think she might be addicted.
She might be. So Angela and her 6 grandkids and her 78-year-old mother all living under one roof. It looks like it's loud in that house.
Yeah.
There's a lot of DCFS calls.
It's like,
hint, hint, anyone living?
Yeah.
Wherever she is, Georgia, wherever, make some calls.
Can someone drive by?
And Skyla is like, so are those Skyla's? I thought those were Skyla's kids. Are those the kids of the woman who's in jail.
I think it's Skyla and the pedophile's kids.
Yeah. That's... Okay. Because Skyla is like not living there, right? Skyla's like living somewhere else.
Yeah, Skyla lives somewhere else, I think, but visits a lot.
So then why is Angela taking care of her kids?
Maybe there's going to be some pending charges soon. I have no idea. There's a lot of things wrong. I'm sure Angela, this is the first time in her life that she's had a steady cash flow or maybe a big check cashed at once. I'm sure she's going to blow all at once.
Right.
So now they're all just running to Big Mama Angela's house, you know?
Mama's house. Ugh. Do you think that they get paid for being on the show?
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Yeah. I mean, not like tons of money, not like what an actor makes from TV or whatever.
You think like 10,000 an episode, or do you think it's
not an episode? I bet you like $500 for an appearance or something like that. I would think.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think it's that much money, but it's enough money for an incentive for people
to go on
the show.
Because I know the Bachelor contestants don't get paid.
No, because that's like a competition. Because it's a competition show. You can't get paid.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. And they get the travel and stuff.
So that's why Skyla hasn't been on The Bachelor. That's the reason. So close. It was just that one thing.
She did do Jerry Springer a few times.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, and Maury.
Yeah, they've done that circuit.
So Angela is trying to lay down some ground rules with this family before Papa comes home, and she's referring to Michael as Papa. Then Skyla says something hilarious. Well, no, Angela says, Michael's going to be your stepdad. And Skyla's like 10 years older than Michael or something. And she's like, the hell he ain't. He's not going to be my stepdad. And then Skyla's pouting this whole fucking scene. She is not happy about any of this. She's not into Michael.
Neither is Angela's mom.
Angela's mom is laughing at her daughter for basically assuming that everyone's going to, under that roof, is going to follow her and Michael's rules.
Yeah. What does she say? She's like, damned if he's going to be the boss of me. Or so she says something spicy.
She says,
Angela said that Michael is going to take care of everyone. And I'm like, he's not taking care of jack shit because he's not going to be able to get a job.
Yeah.
He's also not going to be able to get a visa, apparently.
Well, right. And it kind of gives me Robert and Annie vibes. You don't bring some strange guy. He may not be strange to you, but he's strange to those kids in that household, especially when you've had some issues with children and adults in your family. Not a good idea.
Yeah, it's just not. It's a mess. And
not that I think Michael would do anything, but it's just not a good idea for anyone.
Yeah, those poor kids. No.
We get a flashback to... because Angela's still talking about how Michael wants kids. So we get a flashback to the scene where she asks Skyla for her egg. And then she says the famous line, I can tote it. I just need your egg.
Oh, my God. This would be a great Angela should be on next season of Watchmen. Does anyone watch Watchmen?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I heard it's really good, though.
There's a big egg reveal.
Ooh. But
that joke is just for me and anyone who watches Watchmen.
Well, now, I don't know if you guys know this, but I have actually been a gestational surrogate twice. And I can tell you without a doubt, there's no way a doctor is going to okay whatever rickety ass plan that Angela has going on here. And it's not as easy as she's just like, oh, yeah, they just take my eye and throw it in you or vice versa. It does not work that way.
Yeah,
and she's an idiot to think she could even afford probably the testing ahead of time to even see if either one of them could donate an egg or carry. She's a fool.
Yeah, she's delusional about this. Then they go wedding dress shopping.
Ooh.
I was so giddy. For this. I was so giddy for this. Did anyone else think it was weird they were going at night?
Did they go at night? I didn't even realize that.
It was like pitch dark outside. And they're like, we're going wedding dress shopping tonight. And I was just like, are there wedding dress stores open this late in Hazelhurst, Georgia? They're not even open late here.
I don't even know if that was a real store.
Like it was just they opened it for the show to film.
It was like Comic Sans font print things in frames on the wall. Did you see that? And it was like, we give all kinds of refunds. I was like, nope, right there. I can tell you that's not a legit business. No business is giving you a cash refund on a wedding dress.
You think it's a front?
Yeah, I don't. I think it was all fake.
I love it. They're laundering wedding dresses. So
Emily's mom is working there as the as the cashier.
Totally. So the wedding dress shopping with Skyla. Skyla's not excited about this either. And this is just so weird. Angela is like really having this like fairy tale princess white wedding dress.
I think she
looked
gorgeous. I'm not going to lie. I think that dress is really
I said
funny.
That too. I was surprised. Like she looked for Angela standards.
For Angela.
I think she looked good.
I think also I have to say it's one of the like best fitting slash looking wedding dresses on the 90 Day Fiancé franchise I've seen so far. Because I've seen a lot of really ugly wedding dresses.
Oh my God, like Anna's? What was she wearing? Hers was horrible.
No, that was bad. Yeah, and not flattering.
No.
Like that really flattered Angela's body.
And also like Larissa's wedding dress was terrible too.
They're all terrible.
But this one I was like, oh, that's flattering to her.
Yeah, it was good.
And I mean, look, it's Angela sucks. Let's just get that out. No one likes Angela on this podcast, but
I don't know. Juliana has some competition for hottest chick this season.
Oh, I can tell you what. I bet you Angela absolutely has a full length mirror next to her bed.
And on the ceiling.
Ooh,
she's
ceiling, so yes.
Yeah.
So, Skyla says, don't you think we should wait? Renee, the wedding dress shop sales associate, I just wrote that she had feathered hair. I was really into that.
She's like, oh, shit, I'm going to have to dry clean this thing. I can smell the tobacco through the fake lace, the fake whatever.
Angela's
satin.
Like, does it have a pocket for my phone?
Oh. Did she say that?
No, but
oh,
she
but
should.
She's definitely going to walk down the aisle with her phone in her
clothes. Oh, it's boobs. Between her boobs, for sure.
Between her boobs.
Yeah. The bouquet is in there, phone,
everything's going to be in her
clothes. Yeah. Rings.
A pack of Marlboro Reds.
Her vows.
Yeah, one of the grandkids, just like.
And then the other sales associate is like, we get the good cop, bad cop. With like,
totally.
The nice sales associate and then like the confrontational sales associate who's like, you only have 90 days.
Mm-hmm. How did I miss this part?
It kind of ended. There's whatever. We can move on. Should we move on?
Yeah,
do we have any more? Okay, Mike and Natalie.
One thing I will say is that when you said Angela's a fool, I was like, a 90 Day Fiancé tarot pack would be so cool.
Ooh. Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, with like Angela being the fool.
I think Caesar's the fool.
Caesar.
Oh my God. Angela's like whatever like the anger one is.
Or you could do
like a storm.
Caesar and Maria would be the lover's tarot card. Geez.
That is a great idea. You got to get a little copyright
on
that now.
Yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to sell it. Yeah, okay. So we're in Kiev.
Yeah.
And Natalie greets Mike. I love her sexy little houndstooth pencil skirt that she's wearing.
Yeah.
Mike is sleepy and especially does not want to wake up because she has a surprise for him. She's taking him to church.
Just like the Hozier song.
Yes. This is like the last thing he wants to do. I don't blame him. I don't know how early it was. It was probably early as fuck.
Yeah. What time do you go to church? 8?
I've never been to church before.
Oh, well, depends what time mass you have. I'm a non-practicing Catholic, but I grew up Catholic. 8 o'clock.
Do you have to go early? That's early. Like school. It's like getting
there's
up to go to
like an 8 or a 10 or a 9:30 or an 11. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's shoving a fucking stuffed animal in his face, a unicorn. That's not cute.
Yeah.
That is not cute.
Yeah, that's the worst.
I'd punch someone if they. Even one of my kids, if one of my kids woke me up with a teddy bear in my face, I'd knock him out. No.
Deck him in the face.
Yeah.
He hasn't even had his coffee yet.
Yeah. No, that's bad. So, nor will he really be getting it.
No.
So she's taking him to church. He's not excited. Then she says in the confessional, she says, I want to introduce him to God.
Like, well, she's going to push me off a mountain and murder me now.
Yeah, that's it. She's getting really every episode she gets more and more bunny boy.
I was gonna say I heard you on a previous episode saying that, and as absolutely her, I will not be fooled, Dan. You know,
She scares me. I don't
know. What is it? I will not be ignored. So yeah, her uterus will
not be ignored, Dan.
Her uterus will not be ignored. She wants a baby in it yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm like still giving Natalie the benefit of the doubt. However, mm-hmm. I did think she was overreacting with this religion stuff. And I think, you know what? And then it really also just made me realize she doesn't care who she ends up with. She just wants a baby because she's trying to force this. It's like, you knew Mike wasn't religious.
Right.
If religion is a big deal to you, that's great. That's fine. But
it should have been one of the first things you brought up if it was that serious.
Yes.
That's like date one stuff.
Right.
Like that's like me. Like, I don't want kids. So in the beginning of a relationship, I'm like, I don't want kids.
Yeah.
So if you want kids, that's, you know, we got to go our separate ways.
Well, saying like, I totally believe in aliens. No, I mean, that's like a whole other thing. Is there other life forms? Blah, blah, blah. But the way that Mike talks about it is like aliens wrote the Bible. They're hiding up in the clouds and all that kind of really that should have come up before an engagement, right?
It's really funny because people have speculated and we joked about it. We're like, oh, he's an ancient aliens guy. No, he's literally an ancient aliens guy. Like, he believes in the pyramids conspiracy theory.
Well, I was saying, Scientologists have found their newest spokesperson in Mike because he is all for Xenu and whatever they got going on there.
I said that. I was like, don't you think if he moved to L.A., he would be a Scientologist?
Oh, my God. He'd be doing that e-meter thing.
I disagree. I think he's too skeptical of organized religion to be a Scientologist. I think he's too much like he would be more like if he went really off the deep end, he'd be a flat earther. But he's not.
Oh, that's
he's too logical. Like he's too even keeled. I don't think he's
here's a question for you then. Is he someone who would go hunting for a squatch?
Oh, 100%. He
absolutely.
He is. Okay.
He loves cryptids.
Oh, my God.
But here's what I think. He wouldn't join the Church of Scientology, but he would be really into the conspiracies of all evil shit that Scientology does.
Good point.
He would be an expert on that
shit. He would fuck with them back when they're spying on him outside his house. Like, he would walk out with the video camera, too.
Yes, absolutely. Like, he's not a Scientology stan, but he would know everything.
He's a conspiracy theorist.
Absolutely.
Okay, I agree with that. I bet you, though, that it did come up. And Emily's like, I can change this man. I can change this man.
I can pout and look at him with my baby eyes and just like look up at him. No, that shit's going to get so annoying. The little pouty baby eye thing.
It does not work, unfortunately.
No. And it's like part of me just wants. Oh, can I just say that my boyfriend, he had some wine last night and we watched the show together. And this was his commentary while we were watching the show. And I told him, I'm going to put that in the show.
What was it?
He said, accept that Jesus is an alien and just marry this woman. Like, it was funnier when he said it. But but he was like, if he just accepts that, like, he could just say to her, OK, I believe in Jesus. He's an alien.
Walks on water.
Yeah. It's very supernatural.
Yeah, but then she's going to be doing the baptism and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a whole thing.
It's not a good situation. No. And it does make me sad. And part of the reason why I've been wanting to give her the benefit of the doubt and just their relationship in general is because they really genuinely do seem to like each other.
Right.
And the other thing I noticed that we never see with 90 Day Fiancé couples, have you ever, besides these two, ever seen a couple on 90 Day Fiancé laugh together?
No, yeah, but their jokes are stupid. When
it doesn't matter. They're still laughing with each other.
But it's creepy. When he got to Ukraine, Russia, it's all the same. When he got there, she was sitting on a suitcase and he was doing like what I did with my kids when they were 2 and 3 years old. He was like, where is Natalie? Where is she? I don't see her. And they were giggling and laughing. That's so weird.
You're right. I forgot about that. And also, she's a tiger. Do you remember that?
Oh.
Yeah, and they're stuffed unicorn. Everyone has child brain. Everyone who goes on the show has
a stuffed animal.
That's why the children of these couples are always like so wise seeming because their parents are just the children in the relationship.
I just got a flashback. I swear to God, I have not thought about that. Okay, so I've been married almost 15 years and I totally forgot. I think I blacked this out. When I was dating, I taught elementary school, and I remember.
Oh my God, what grade?
What's that?
What grade?
Fourth.
I used to teach fifth and sixth.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, back in the
day. We survived.
I know. Can you believe it?
He sent me, my husband, well, I was dating him at the time, had sent me, roses, and there was like a little teddy bear in it. And I swear to God, I almost broke up with him. I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? And I remember calling my friends, be like, he sent me a teddy bear. What about me says I would love something to cuddle up with on my bed at night? I mean, ew, it's weird. So adults don't do that.
Right. But that these are the type of people who like fall in love on an app with someone who's in like Croatia, you know?
And they really believe in this like fairy tale romance that they're going to ride off into the sunset together. They just have a lot of very
unrealistic
expectations.
That's like the Rachel and John singing Lion King, I just can't wait to be king, falling in love.
Oh my God.
Or it's like that couple who met on like a karaoke app.
That's them, yeah. Rachel and John.
Sorry, I just blacked out.
No,
it's okay.
They were really, yeah.
It's probably better that you did. Yeah,
John, who is famous for fighting people on social media. Okay, so Natalie, the next morning, she's very distant and very cold. She's doing like a hard silent treatment.
Yeah.
Like a very loud silent treatment.
Been there,
right
done
now.
That, gonna do it probably this weekend. Yep.
Absolutely. And the mom has no fucking idea what's going on.
Yeah,
she is
poor
like,
mom.
The mom cannot even realize that like her daughter is like completely ignoring Mike and is pissed off and like huffing and puffing around the kitchen. Tantrum.
She's on some planet Mike's aliens are on. She doesn't know what the hell is
absolutely.
Going on.
Absolutely. And she's just like, I want grandkids. Then Natalie breaks down into tears and the music gets really dramatic.
Oh, I didn't notice the music shift. I love that though.
Yeah. And that's the end of their scene or of their whatever storyline this week.
Also, she says something about how she is afraid of people who don't believe in God, because if you believe in God, that means you have morals and you live by a set of rules and regulations. I highly disagree with that.
I do too, obviously.
And I will say that people who believe in aliens are some of the most respectful, non-judgmental people I know.
Well, here's the other thing. If she's this religious, now I'm not saying I believe this, but if she is that religious and she's this devout, why is she willing to have a baby before marriage? Where she was like, oh, let's just have a baby now and then you can go back and we'll wait for the visa while I stay here with a belly.
Interesting. She should not be fucking. She should not be living in sin.
Right. With her mom next to that paper thin wall of theirs. Ew.
No, she should not be divorced. Like she's a little hypocritical. I don't know. She's becoming one of my least favorite, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not liking her vibe.
I was not into her this episode at all.
Maybe she needs to go take a tour of a Russian hospital and she'll change her mind real quick.
Seriously.
Should we move on to Anna and Marcel?
Yes.
I have a lot to say about this.
By the way, we'll do it as a Patreon episode, but I can't remember if we said this last week, but Melissa bought some of Anna's honey.
Yep.
And it came.
Yep.
And Melissa's out of town, but when she's back
after the holidays,
we'll do some taste testing.
Yep.
And it came. I know. Can you believe it? It came with a personalized note.
We're going to film it. We should film it.
Yeah. We'll do an unboxing.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So they have 22 days to wed. This is a fucking nightmare. Mm-hmm. The wedding invites have been sent out. Anna is having her bachelorette party and she is going to drink. And
it's at a tiki lounge, which I think is tight.
Look, I love tiki anything, but this was not tiki. This was like Surf's Up Island party.
It looked dirty. It looked like everything was sticky.
Yes.
It like wanted to be a tiki bar, but it was a sticky.
When there's
situation.
Plastic curly straws, not permanently curly, like the ones that just bend, but the bartender was like, ooh, I'm going to mix it up and make a little, you know, right angle on this one. No.
I mean, those were like a neon beverages that everyone was drinking. It was like pastel and neon beverages.
Lots of schnapps.
So Anna is excited to just drink because she can't drink around Marcel. And Marcel is just completely in the dark about the events that are about to transpire.
And allegedly, Marcel is watching the kids. Someone asked where are the kids tonight, and she said Marcel is watching them.
Oh, my God.
So that can't be fun at all.
They probably, like, tied him up with toilet paper.
Yeah.
And, like, threw eggs at him.
Whatever's going on at home can't be fun either.
Yeah. So everyone's like, are you allowed to drink? Her friends are like, are you allowed to drink? Because Marcel doesn't drink. And she says, I can drink once a week, but he doesn't want to kiss me or have sex with me if I drink. And her friends are like, what the hell's wrong with your fiance, basically?
Yeah.
Then we get a stunning reveal, which I yelped
Me
when
too.
She when we got this reveal. We learned that Marcel doesn't eat her pussy.
God, I hate that word. I'm such a prude with this stuff, but I was shocked that it came out.
Yeah. I was honestly so upset to learn this, especially since we see Anna tell the most bold-faced lie to her friends. They're like, what the hell? Why doesn't he do that? And she goes, I don't like it anyway. Like it. That is a fucking lie, Anna, and you know it, and you're lying to yourself, and your friends know you're lying.
Yes. Well, anytime you end a sentence with anyway, that means that you're making an excuse.
If she's like,
I actually don't like it, and I prefer that he does this, fingers me instead, like, whatever. Yeah, she's making excuses. Marcel, also, who was the other guy who was Laura's from last season?
Oh, yeah, he didn't either.
He didn't go Aladdin. Down on either.
Aladdin didn't go down on Laura. Not. I mean, this is like...
Was he from Turkey?
No, maybe it's a Muslim cultural thing. I don't know.
Oh my God, interesting.
He wasn't.
I dated a Muslim guy and he did go down on me.
Maybe it's a religious thing because I don't think it's. I think it's
like a practicing Muslim thing.
Yeah, like maybe it's like a very devout.
Should we call Nicole and Azin and see? I'm sure she could let us know.
Yeah. I call my ex-boyfriend on speaker. Hey, oh, there you go. I can't remember. Did you used to go down on me?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably more just someone who's super religious, but I don't know that I can't speak to that. But
it would be very beige sex, like just very.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I'm sorry. There's no way that they have a good sex life. Anna is like fucking kidding herself. Yeah, she is lying.
And Anna gives off, I think, sexy vibes to me.
Yeah, Anna gives off like she knows how to have a good time. She's probably like a fun drunk.
Yeah, I think she's...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she also has whatever Emily has in terms of her insecurity, where it's like she just needs to be with someone. She can't be alone. She can't just be like standing on her own independent. She has to be with somebody. That's the vibe I get.
You know what she needs to learn?
What?
A man is not a plan.
Oh
yeah. Wait, what's that from? What's that quote from?
My therapist.
Oh.
Like, how old is this guy in 10 days? What is it? Yeah. Which Reese Witherspoon movie?
Last Wednesday.
I really thought it was like a Reese Witherspoon movie.
Culver City, 9:30 a.m.
Wow.
Okay.
Juliana needs to go there.
How great was Anna's friend Lisa with the tattoos?
Oh my God. So she had like a Celtic tattoo on her titty.
I know. I loved Lisa because everyone needs a friend like Lisa where they just tell it like it is, even though like it might... like hurt your feelings, but she's doing it because she loves you unconditionally.
Yeah. And she gives zero fucks about the camera because she's just got her hair pulled back in a ponytail, no makeup, tank top, no bra, just this is what you get.
She doesn't care that she's about to like tell you how it is at your bachelorette party, but she's doing it because she fucking loves you so much.
Yeah, she's like, this is not a good idea.
She just comes out and says it. She's like, what are you doing? And then we find out another stunning reveal about Marcel, and that is that Marcel pees on the toilet seat and doesn't wipe it up.
I missed this part. I was seeing this online. When did someone say that?
Well, it started because they said, how is it, like, is Marcel take care of the kids? Like, they were talking about, does he take care of the kids? And she says, well, Marcel kind of is like a big kid. And they're like, oh, what do you mean? She goes, well, you know, he pees on the toilet seat and he doesn't clean it up.
Oh, and then hell they were like, no.
Exactly. That's what they all said. That's what all her friends said, rightfully so. And she was making excuses for him again. She was like, oh, it's fine. My boys already do it.
No. I have a 9-year-old son. And if I walk in the bathroom and there is pee on the seat, I am screaming, who peed on the seat? Charlie, get in here and clean it up. And he gets the Clorox wipe and you clean that shit up, because I'm not going to raise a son who's going to have a girlfriend or a wife or a boyfriend, whoever, that is then going to look at me and be like, how did your mom raise you to be a monster?
I mean, that is
clean that shit up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, seriously.
Ew.
Yeah. I mean, it's disgusting. So
that's, I think, like, Marcel has major Tom Hanks and Big vibes to me.
You think he's like a child.
He's Forrest Gump, you guys. He is Forrest fucking Gump.
I mean, and clearly Anna he's a child.
Yeah, she's fine with it.
She's totally fine with it, apparently. All of her friends are shocked. Lisa just comes out and says this to Anna. This doesn't feel right to me. And so Anna and Marcel, the next morning, they have a talk.
Yeah,
and it is
bad news.
It is not. It is never good. It is never a good sign of your relationship when you're having a heart to heart through a translator app.
Yeah, right. It's not good.
Well, the only time Marcel ever initiates something in English is he sits down. He looks at me and he goes, Anna. You happy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
It's either
you're
a yes or a no question. It's not even really an open-ended question.
No,
and
you're
Anna,
right.
I feel badly for her, but she also drives me nuts, and I didn't really realize it till this episode, is that she never says to him, I'm upset that you're not telling your family. She says, here, I wrote it down. My friends keep saying I shouldn't marry you because you're not telling your family. You haven't told your family about my boys, and my friends said I shouldn't hide it. Stop putting it on your friends. Yeah, your friends are saying that, but say how you feel. Don't be pushing it on them. It's very
That's
middle
a very
school.
Good point.
You know, like
that's a very good point. She's very childlike
yeah.
too.
Yeah, she needs to take accountability.
She
for
has
her
no
own
backbone.
Feelings.
She has no backbone or sense of like she doesn't have any sense of self-worth because it's like she's afraid to tell this guy what he's doing is fucked up.
But I almost kind of blame her a little bit because clearly this is not the first time that he's told her, I'm not going to tell him. He's very insistent.
Oh,
like, I had no intention. So she must have lied to him or led him to believe it was totally fine to hide them however many months or years until he gets there. So, of course,
and
he's going to be like, what the fuck? I came all the way here.
I agree.
I left my bees.
I agree. And even if she didn't know and he did hide that from her, even then, the second he made that declaration Oof. To her in front of the boys, that should have been the end of it.
Yeah, she said, okay, bye.
Yeah.
But I bet you she was, I bet you, like you were saying, that she said, oh, okay, yeah, it's totally fine. Not a problem. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because she wanted to be in a relationship so badly or like have this romance play out. Or it's just that underlying theme of you think that you can change a person when you really can't.
Yep. Yep. So Anna's begging Marcel, like she's like demanding at this point, like you need to tell your family. He doesn't think this is fair, that he needs Anna. This is like he considers this a sacrifice that he yeah. wants Anna to make. This is not a sacrifice, like a normal sacrifice for a relationship. Like, yes, there are sacrifices you make when you marry someone. I'm sure I've never been married, but this is like not, I don't feel like this is a normal kind of sacrifice. Or what you would consider that.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Well, also, he says that he wouldn't have come at
right.
all.
Right.
Right.
If he knew that this was the case.
If that she was going to make him tell the parents.
Yeah. So everything's really changing. This is kind of like a pivotal moment where mm-hmm. we don't really know where this relationship's going to go anymore.
Yep. If they're going to stay together, I really hope she breaks it off with him. Especially, I mean, even just for the sake of her boys.
Oh,
yeah,
my God, her poor
like,
sons.
I know. I feel horrible for them. Okay. Robert and Annie.
Oh.
Yes.
This was a doozy.
Yeah. I actually was kind of on Team Annie this episode.
I know, and I normally hate her.
Yeah. Same.
I thought Robert was being a little weird.
She made some good points.
She
I will
did.
Say that.
some
she had some very,
points were made.
Some points were made.
Yep.
We open on a weird night vision camera shot of them sleeping in a bed together. And it is like, first of all, I don't know how Annie hasn't just been like, I guess she has no money, but it sucks. I feel like now I'm like really upset yeah. for her on her behalf because she can't just go to a hotel room.
I know. I slept like that as a kid in my parents'
you did?
Bed. Yes. I love how Bryson was sleeping. It killed me.
It was so funny. Like, I mean, so they're all sleeping in this bed together and Bryson is like literally having like, I don't know, he's like a sleepwalker or whatever. But he's like,
he's doing like WWE moves on Robert. Yeah. He's got his legs wrapped around his head, his neck. He's choking him out.
He really was.
Yeah, he's just throwing punches. He's changing positions. He's diagonal. He's sleeping on yeah. top of both of them. It's just, it's wild.
But it's intentional, too. I think Bryson is
oh, yeah.
a sweet kid, but you mm-hmm. have to be like, no, you're putting your feet down or you're going to sleep over there. There's
well,
no.
Yeah. So,
yeah, there's yeah. no discipline. In
yeah, no. And Annie is not happy about this. So the next day, Robert and Annie go looking for a two-bedroom apartment because they obviously need a separate room for their child. Duh.
Right.
So he's not sleeping in a bed with a new strange woman. I think it goes both ways.
A strange woman. This is like so, it's so wrong.
So inappropriate on so many levels.
So the first place they're looking at, and the only place, it turns out, is really nice. I'm really jealous of this kitchen.
Yeah, it was really gorgeous, modern unit.
It was gorgeous. And my first thought was, there's no way Robert can afford this place.
I like, know, before, same.
I'm just going linear.
Walking
into it, I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Like, I can't believe they're even showing him this place. But also, I always forget, like, how much places cost other places because we live in Los Angeles. Yeah. We're like...
Yeah, how much would that apartment go for?
At least, like, $2,500.
More than that. I looked at a studio the other day, and it was $2,300.
Oh, my gosh.
It depends what part of town it's in, but pretty much, yeah. It's, like, so stupid. So... We find out it's $1,750. I was so jealous of how cheap that is for that apartment.
Yeah, nice view.
You're right, in a nice building. Right. And like I said before, love the kitchen. I'm obsessed with that kitchen. You know Robert doesn't know how to cook. Like, I wanted to cook in that kitchen.
I don't think Annie knows how to cook either.
No. Yeah, they definitely eat out all the time.
Yeah.
It's such a mess.
You know who does it? Marcel and Anna.
Hey! So then... Annie falls in love, of course. Annie is in love with this place. It was very much reminded me of like Colty and Larissa when they were apartment hunting.
Yes.
And or Larissa was like, oh, let's get this place. It's nicey.
Oh, that was such a joke.
It was such a joke. And Annie was like, has hearts in her eyes over this apartment.
I can read a book. I can relax.
Yeah. And Robert then reveals to the realtor that he's just renewed the lease on his apartment for an entire year. And Annie's like, what? I want to move now. I thought that's why we were looking at apartments, which, yeah, exactly. Why were you looking for apartments?
Do we think he actually signed the lease for a year, or do you think he's trying to get out of?
Oh, I think he absolutely signed a lease because he was like, nope, I'm signing it so that she has no choice but to stay here.
I agree. I think he was sneaky about it. Uh-huh. And I think part of it was sneaky and part of it was just him being so dense that he just like doesn't think.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, whatever. Oh, I got to sign my lease. Okay.
Then it's so fucked. And this is why I'm team Anna on this. Annie. It's so fucked up for him to even take her.
Yeah.
Looking at apartments.
He knew that. Like, what was he? He was just trying to like placate her basically for a day and hope she wouldn't notice. But then he didn't even keep it a secret. He blurted it out. Like,
yeah, it's so justifiable, in my opinion, that she got annoyed.
Of course. She had every right to be furious.
And you know, the agent was like, Jesus, I just wasted my whole Sunday afternoon and you didn't have an intention to rent this place. Thanks, asshole.
Can we talk about this realtor? It was this woman, some of the expressions on her faces.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for these periphery characters who just get stuck in the drama of watching these couples fight and then having to weigh in on it.
Okay, this would be like my dream come true, though.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. This is my dream scenario. But for these people, like, unless they're a fan of TLC, which we decided someone on last week's episode, like a bridal shop employee, watched TLC.
Dream. Yeah.
But like, this lady was like, so uncomfortable. She's just trying to do her job and a full-blown fight is breaking out between Robert and Annie. And after this, my other thought was like, oh, there's no way she's going to rent to you guys now.
Right. Well, definitely. Yeah. You don't seem like a good tenant.
Yeah. She's like, Latin women are feisty, AKA she's going to fucking punch a hole through that wall.
Yeah.
She can see the rage in Annie's potential. I'm not saying every Latin woman, let's take it easy, people, but you know what I'm saying? Like, she definitely knows this is a volatile situation.
That was her comment. And she also just is like, even if they weren't, she's like, these people are drama.
Right.
I don't want this kind of drama in my building. Annie's pissed. And then we cut to Andrea, the real estate agent, and she says, it was a little bit awkward.
Yeah no shit.
And then they go out onto the deck, the balcony, to fight some more. And Robert says, do you love me or do you love the apartment? I mean, clearly she just loves the apartment.
I'd be like, did you see the granite? I mean, it's brand new.
And Robert is like, says it's to the confessional, he says, it's like I got two Brysons on my hands.
Oh,
I'm sorry, but this is on Robert.
This is on Robert.
Yeah.
You created this whole situation.
You cannot have a one bedroom apartment for your wife and your child. No.
Do you guys think that Robert and Annie are both just addicted to drama?
Yes, I think that's both their temperament. And because this could be easily solved if he just gets fucking Bryson a little bed.
Yeah.
And puts it in the living room or wherever. He just wants to, he doesn't want solutions. He wants more problems.
He wants more problems. Like he was complaining to her about, like, you just want all this expensive stuff. And it's like, I mean, I don't think anything she's asked for has been that unreasonable personally.
No.
Like, except for the when she was like, I want nice clothes. Like that was a little unreasonable. Yeah. But Robert did also present himself as having more money.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Than he actually had.
It's crazy. And it's like the one blessing of this episode, I think, was that we didn't see Blake and Jasmine.
Oh, thank God. They're boring.
Right. I hate them.
So boring. But we do see them in a sneak peek for next episode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's Blake's friends saying that they don't get the relationship. They're not saying that it's totally a sham.
Right.
But they're saying that they just don't understand.
They don't grasp it.
I just don't understand, just real quickly, since we're talking about them, I don't understand why she doesn't just go live with her sister or stay with her sister.
Makes no sense.
That's what we were saying. That's another thing. It's like, why doesn't she just stay with the sister? Why?
Yeah,
something's
weird.
It's
really weird.
Rent an apartment. It doesn't.
The preview for next week looks so good, though.
Yeah.
What happens? I forget. There's a few things that happen.
One of the things that comes up next week that we're going to see is Sinjin working in the yard. Yeah.
Yes.
We're like, basically, that's it. Sinjin shirtless.
Right. Sinjin shirtless working in the yard for Tanya's mom.
Who looks like a broke Patti LuPone.
Oh, my God.
Totally.
Yes.
I mean, I love Tanya's mom, but I do think I kind of lost some points when she was like, Sinjin, you're going to work in the yard.
Yeah. Sinjin's
and
like an
indentured
servant.
And you can't use my car. Yeah. Like, it was just like, I don't know.
Yeah, another
I
child.
Feel like, I feel like Sinjin is getting treated like a teenager and like, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we hate Tanya.
And we see Tanya in Costa Rica, like having the time of her life. She's like going down rock slides and
doing like zip lining.
Yeah. She's zip lining and feeding monkeys and not giving a shit. And Tanya's mom asks Sinjin, how long has it been since you guys have talked? And Sinjin's like, we don't talk. Yeah, we haven't really.
We don't talk. She's awful. I'm excited to see that because I love hate watching them.
Yeah.
Even though I love Sinjin, but
I want to say a spoiler, but I shouldn't, right?
I don't know. We can say spoiler fast forward 30
seconds.
Yeah, there
you go. Let's hear it.
Spoiler fast forward 30 seconds now.
Okay. Now I can say it.
Say it.
Okay. So I follow this Instagram account, Frauded by TLC.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And they posted that Tanya and Sinjin are married because Tanya left a review, like a Yelp review, on some wedding officiant page.
Uh-oh.
Being like, hey, like Jim did such a good job officiating Sinjin and my wedding. Like, I'll post pictures soon. Thank you so much for officiating. We really appreciate it. Like, Sinjin and I had the best day ever.
Damn.
Love Sinjin and Tanya.
That's not gonna last.
So disappointing. It's not gonna can't.
Yeah,
it can't last.
I don't think it will last. And B, like they only got that far because Sinjin was too scared to get out.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, spoiler done.
Yeah. Okay. So I really quickly, I like to play this game, Would You Rather? But I'm just gonna give you one question here because I know we're running a little long. Are you up for it?
Yeah.
Okay. So would you rather stay in a she shed with Tanya or stay in a CrossFit box with Sasha?
Wait, what's a CrossFit box?
Like a CrossFit gym. Yeah, they call them a box.
How long? Like, how long?
Oh, full 24 hours.
A full 24
hours? Full 24.
I would rather be with Sasha.
I would rather be with Sasha too.
Because Tanya Tanya would annoy the shit out of me.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to have to make small talk with Tanya. With Sasha, I feel like we could just be silent.
Yep. Or quiet. He would be quiet and be like on his phone or working out, and then I'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah, Sasha would just be on the iPad.
What
or
if he was body
out.
Shaming you? He was training you.
I would just, honestly, I'd rather be body shamed and trained by Sasha than have to.
Tanya,
have
get
to talk
in
to
your
Tanya.
Head.
I don't want Tanya in my personal space.
Yeah. I feel like Tanya would affect my psyche forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I could
it would linger.
Sasha
it would stay with you
for 24 hours.
Totally.
And I think Tanya smells.
I think, yeah, she does not wear deodorant
or a bra or brush her teeth.
Yes.
I'm just stating the facts
with
of what we see on the screen.
I have no problem with her not wearing a bra. It's just I just need her to get a new shirt. She wears that pink shirt every
she
day.
She really does, yeah.
It's really the shirt for me.
Well, thank you guys thank you for coming on Reality TV, and thank you for having me on 90 Day Slumber Party. What do you guys have coming up? Where can my listeners find you?
You can find us on iTunes or Spotify at 90 Day Fiancé Slumber Party. Thank you
much.
Thank you. Ah, I told you guys, so much fun. I love those ladies. Make sure you check out 90 Day Fiancé Slumber Party this week coming up on Patreon. Amanda from Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom. We are going to hash out the Teen Mom 2 three-part reunion and perhaps some Scott and Lacey Peterson in there because Amanda likes to throw out murders when she's partly stoned and texting me. So basically anything goes this week. That's at patreon.com/realityvpod and on Total Request Podcast. An epic episode. Amanda has never seen Sister Wives and I assigned her to watch some clips about the catfishing issue and she's being introduced to the rest of the clan because she's watching the episode with Tony and McKelty's wedding. And Christine sings, "Let Me Call You Sweetheart." That's all you need to know. It's going to be hilarious. That's at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. And I will talk to you in 2 weeks. I'm going to spend some time with my kids and my family. I hope you do the same. I'll see you in the new year with more 90 Day Fiancé, Sister Wives, Love After, Life After Lockup, whatever else the reality TV goddesses have in store for us. Thank you guys so much for a fantastic year. Take care and stay salty.